Mormon Matters Podcast is a production of the Open Stories Foundation and is seeking to build financial support separate from Mormon Stories Podcast. All donations to Mormon Matters are fully tax deductible and go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for Mormons like you. To support the podcast or to join the community, please become a monthly subscriber today at mormonmatters.org.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Mormon Matters Podcast. This is your host, Dan Weatherspoon. I'm sorry it's been 3 weeks since my last podcast. I've been pretty sick, and it's driving me crazy, and we've had some summer scheduling issues with some of our other panelists, but we are thrilled to get back in the saddle today, and we'll have a whole bunch of them over the next few weeks that we'll definitely roll out. This one is neat, and it's timely. And it's just a chance for us to check in with Sunstone. As many people know, Sunstone is the largest, longest-running kind of independent organization within, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, progressive liberal Mormonism, or at least open to discussion Mormonism. And as many of you know, it also hosts a symposium. I believe that they started in 1979 with symposiums, and this is the 37th or whatever continuous symposium. It's a great gathering. It begins Wednesday, the 29th of July, and goes through Saturday, the 1st of August. And I have with us the two main major movers and shakers at Sunstone today, Stephen Carter, who's been on the show many, many times. Stephen, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
You're the editor of Sunstone, and around this time, I'm sure you're just as much symposium as anything else, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of the program editor right now, too.
That's right, yeah, getting all that stuff ready for printing. And then I know that lots of our listeners will know our other guest, Lindsay Hansen Park. We had her on once to talk about the New Testament, of all things, Lindsay, right?
Yeah, I was like this sort of little quiet peripheral voice on that one, but yeah, I was on.
That was great to have you there, but you are quite famous for just completing your, 100 episodes, and it was your Year in Polygamy podcast series.
That wasn't me. Sorry. I think you're getting me confused with someone else. Actually, it was me.
Oh, man. I'm like, you're freaking me out there.
No, it was me. I am the one that obsessed about it for over a year, talked about polygamy every single week. So yeah, we just finished. It's nice to be done.
And congratulations.
Yeah, that was actually one of the first things that Lindsay said when she came to one of our first Sunstone meetings. She's like, I'm totally obsessed with polygamy. And we all kind of looked at her like, and you're saying...
Oh, yeah.
We found out later.
Did I say that? Oh, it doesn't.
You did. It was hilarious.
I'm sorry, Stephen.
Well, congratulations on finishing that amazing project. Thank you for your wonderful interview with John DeLynn. Are you feeling a little overexposed on podcasts right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, everyone's probably sick of my voice. So luckily at Sunstone, it won't be about me. So that'll be nice.
For those who don't know, last year, Lindsay was a major player at Sunstone. She and Mary Ellen Robertson put the symposium together. This year, Mary Ellen has stepped away, and Lindsay's kind of it when it comes to symposium, head mover and shaker. So we're grateful to have her give us a couple minutes tonight.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Yeah, and it, just so you know, it's not just me. It's our whole staff, Jim Murphy, me, Grace Poole, Stephen Carter. We've all worked really hard, so.
Oh, and Gertrude, who is in the basement.
I never met her. I just hear about
her. You haven't met her yet? Oh, boy. I can't wait till that happens.
Super awkward. Wow.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if I'll keep that little
sense. Didn't you meet Gertrude?
I didn't. Anyway,
You're not going to keep our bad jokes, Dan? Come on.
Okay. All right, I'll keep your bad jokes. No, I didn't, Stephen, and that's just a quick reminder for everyone here. I have now been away from Sunstone 7 years. I was with it for 7.5 years. So right now is exactly the 8th symposium. Well, wait. No, this is the 7th symposium since my last one. So I do miss it, but it is so much more fun to attend them as an attendee, you guys.
I'll bet. Tell us all about it.
So someday we'll reminisce when you guys know that villain too. But
I'm putting it on my list to make it miserable for you, if that's your incentive. So
oh, man.
Get more involved.
I've been involved enough along with my other things, and this stupid cold that I've had has just killed me lately. Anyway, I am almost back to my full self. So let's talk a little bit. I don't want to make this just infomercial about Sunstone. Let's talk a little bit about the organization and things like that, and kind of what the plans are, and what are you guys doing, you know, in this world to sort of say, you know, Sunstone, we need it. It's relevant. It's happening. It's gone through a lot of changes. So maybe I'll start with you, Stephen, a little bit. Would you give us a sense of, you guys are really the leaders at this? You know, when I was there, certainly the online groups were starting to come. I don't think we really had the great big Facebook Mormonism there, but we had all sorts of different kind of online forums for Mormon stuff. And Sunstone, in many ways, was the only game in town for, you know, getting people together and things like that. Is that still the niche of Sunstone? We have a magazine, but is it really the hosting face-to-faces? Is it, what would you guys say is the main thing that's keeping you guys going now?
Money is keeping us going. It falls out of the sky. It's wonderful.
I was going to say methamphetamines, but
well, you have to have money to buy those. Is the thing. Now you know what your donation goes towards.
Under Peggy Fletcher Stack, it was apparently Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper fumes. So
well, that's more expensive.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You're right. Sunstone is kind of an interesting place. It's interesting that you would even ask the question, you know, how it's as if we're trying to say, of course we're still relevant. Come on, guys, come over to our party. But it's true. Things have changed drastically during the 40 years that Sunstone has been around. When it first started, we were Gutenberg was still ascendant. You still only read things on paper. That was just the way things went. So if you wanted to get your ideas out, you went through paper. And that was the only way to do it. And then we started getting people together. But of course, that was a local thing. But you're right. Since then, we've had the internet revolution, and it's been an interesting thing. I was actually working with a very prominent blogger to put together an article for the next issue, and it was really interesting to work with him because he's smart as a tack, and knows how to write good blog posts. And as we were working, we started to realize that there's a huge difference between a blog post and an article. And that's what Sunstone is kind of starting, is bringing to the Mormon world, is the long form article. So it's a lot of fun to go onto Facebook and onto your favorite blogs and read, you know, 500 to 600 words from your favorite Mormon blogger. And I have plenty of favorite Mormon bloggers. But when I think back on my own life, and maybe I'm just thinking, you know, as a 40-year-old, the things that changed me, like, down deep to the bone were the things that I read in Dialogue, the things that I read in The Exponent, in Sunstone. I realized that the things that have, like, shaped me at my core are those things that I guess you could say life was poured into them, life blood. These articles were things that were sort of germinating over years and were written and then rewritten and then sent out and edited and revised until the author, along with a bunch of other people, sort of came together to make something that was new, that pushed the discourse forward, that really went down deep into the thoughts that would make a difference. And you get a lot of really good activism on the blogs and on Facebook and such like that. And I don't think that this generation has ever been matched for actually moving, like, actual practices in Mormonism forward. you would talk to a lot of the Sunstoners, and they were, you know, pushing for all of the things that we're starting to get now for 30 and 40 years. And suddenly they're all starting to pop up. But it took laying all of that groundwork in order to get here. So this is my long way around of saying what Sunstone produces is sort of the distilled essence of thought that is meant to go down deep and change people at their core. It's meant to be something that you go back to again and again and again because you remember how it changed you. So for example, Dan, you started getting Phil McElmore into Sunstone, and just last week I used one of his articles that's forthcoming in Sunstone to teach a lesson on the atonement. And in all humility, I must say that I knocked it out of the park. Like the stake presidency was there. It was branch conference. So the stake presidency was there. The bishopric was there. Everybody was there. And they were texting me, telling me how good it was. Do you know why it was good? It was because I've had, you know, like 5 years of reading Phil's stuff, of reading it over and over again, of editing Phil's stuff, of getting this new article ready. This is a topic that has been distilling upon my soul, to use scriptural language, for years. And you started it with Phil, getting that discourse started, seeing so deeply into the atonement, into a mystical side of Mormonism. And it took years. It took me years of study and years of reading of this work that you and Phil put together, that Phil and I put together, in order to make this happen. And it, as far as I can see, it turned out a miracle. So that's what we're here for. We're like the slow food movement of Mormon discourse. We don't put out things really, really fast at all. It just bugs the heck out of some of the authors who are used to being able to press publish on their blog post. You know, I'll take like 3, 4, 6 months to get something out. And they're like, why does it take so long? It takes so long because we're making this into something that's worth putting on paper. It's worth illustrating. It's worth somebody sitting down in their armchair, ignoring Facebook for a while, ignoring Tumblr, and immersing themselves in this thought that has been conceived and labored over and born and revised again and again and again until you have something of remarkable workmanship. And now I will end my soapbox.
Well, awesome. And definitely, so Stephen is most attuned to the magazine. And so Sunstone Magazine is what he kind of concentrated on there. Lindsay, as a mover and shaker of the face-to-face part of Sunstone, tell me about, is it unique out there? Is it, what made you decide that this was worth wearing out so much of your life for?
Yeah, so I want to talk about the community a little bit because I came into this from sort of the faith crisis angle, and I didn't realize that's what it was at the time. But when I came in, I just was so relieved that there were others like me because my lived Mormonism was very conservative. It's where people get all of the stereotypes, right? The bad stereotypes. That was my lived Mormonism. And so because of that, I think my worldview was very limited and narrow. I was a stay-at-home mom, really invested in my calling. I taught a home preschool out of my basement. That's what I did. And so those were the people I interacted with. So to find out that there were other people that like to chew on hard questions or, you know, untangle all of these difficult issues, like it was just like an oasis in this huge gaping desert. And when I first heard of Sunstone, I had remember hearing something about it, and there was sort of like a stigma of it in my mind, and I didn't know why. And of course, growing up in a very conservative, very Utah-centric ward, anything that's off the mainstream is considered, you know, has a stigma, right? And so I was asked to participate on a panel for Feminist Mormon Housewives, and this was a few years ago, and I was so nervous because it was the first time I got to go, and that was my first experience with Sunstone. And I remember it was one of the first times I got to go and be face-to-face with all of these people and find my people. And it was the first time, I hate to use this analogy, but I felt like I was in my ward, finally. You know, I belonged. And there was just such diversity there. There were polygamists there. There were people that were never Mormon there talking about Mormonism. There were people from other faith traditions. And I thought, what is this place? Is this like Zion that they're talking about? And so I come to Sunstone with kind of this sort of new concept of community. And that's what makes Stephen and I a really good team, because Stephen has this old institutional knowledge. And when I came to Sunstone, I didn't know much about it. I didn't know that there were these great articles being written. And so he and I have tried to sort of bridge that gap. We're trying at Sunstone to keep the wonderful, rich richness of thought and scholarship and, you know, thoughtful discussion and discourse out there, while reaching out to people like me who might need that oasis in the desert. And people get defensive about Sunstone sometimes in the ex-Mormon community because they think, well, why would I want that? That just keeps people in the church. And that is not what Sunstone does at all. Sunstone provides a platform for so many voices. And I think that that's what makes Sunstone unique. It's not pushing an agenda. It's not, we've really worked really hard in the last few years not to associate ourselves with any sort of causes. I mean, I have my own pet causes. Jim has his own stuff he's into. Stephen has his own stuff. And we really, when we come to Sunstone, we leave all that at the door, and we try to make Sunstone a place where everyone that wants to engage with Mormonism in some way can do so, as long as it's in a thoughtful and respectful way of other people's beliefs. And I just think that that's fantastic.
Yeah. I used to have to field that question a lot about, why don't you become an activist group? Or there is the worry that we're an activist group. And I said, about the only thing we're activist on at Sunstone is hosting good discussions. You know, people who are thoughtful, people that are respectful, but yet who really know their stuff and can share stuff. I always had my ear out for a constructive agenda. In other words, even if it's a difficult story, even if it's a difficult topic, I wanted people that had sort of processed it decently well, kind of came out of it with some insight and some knowledge, so that it just didn't become, you know, like, let's stab, twist the knife kind of thing. Tell your story, but definitely have some thought about growth and whatnot that kind of comes out the backside of that struggle.
Can we speak to that, Dan? Just
yes, please.
Because I feel like most people listening, I mean, we have to be real and honest. There is a stigma still attached to Sunstone. And that's something that I want to address because, you know, for years and years and years, Sunstone was this big, vibrant community. And it was just that. It was this platform for all different people to sort of explore these questions. And you talk to anyone, you come to Sunstone and talk to someone who's been going for a long time, and the stories are just incredible about, like, these good old glory days. And then the church comes out with their, I guess we're calling it, what do we call it, Stephen? The ban against symposia?
The statement on symposia, at
the
least.
The statement
what we used
on
to,
symposia. Yeah. And it changed things. And Dan, you were kind of around for this. And during the 1990s, you know, and this purge that happens, I guess, in the academic community, this is before my time, there was a lot of anger, and there was a lot of frustration, and there was a lot of people that felt silenced. And so Sunstone became the platform for them to discuss these things, because there really wasn't a good, healthy outlet amongst other Mormons to do so. And so they did. And because of that, and because of the statement, it really sort of alienated a lot of people that had been attending Sunstone from their own you know, lived Mormonism, their own LDS wards, and a lot of people stopped coming. It was an issue. And so we have that challenge ahead of sort of bringing that openness again. I think my generation is taking a little bit different ideas towards excommunication. There's been excommunications this year, but we don't, not to dismiss like any of the pain of the past, but I think that we're starting to look at it a little bit differently because the internet provides a place where we don't have to be silenced. So Sunstone has a lot more flexibility now than it used to because there is so much more openness. And so now it becomes a place where people can congregate and actually be in person and, you know, model how to dialogue these hard issues aside from just the internet. And so, but we do, like, we do have this challenge of overcoming the stigma. And I think that that's what we're working really hard towards. What do you think, Stephen?
Oh, yeah. Actually, It's my humble opinion that God really loves Sunstone because we're still alive.
And that money that comes from heaven.
Yeah, the money that comes from heaven. But it's amazing, in my opinion, that we're still around because that was really a tremendous blow. And we have kept on ticking, and we are actually flourishing now. And I really have to bear my testimony about going to Sunstone as well. The first time I went, I said, you know, I'll be there for Thursday and Friday. I told my wife, I'll be home on Saturday. And on Friday night, I called her and I said, honey, can I stay for another day? Please? It was like crack. Yeah. I was like, this is my place. it just, yeah, Dan, in your Pillars of My Faith speech, during your last year, you were described as this special spirit that came to the Sheraton Hotel where we used to have it each year. And you're right. There's a peculiar spirit there. It's a strange word to use, but there's a very unique community there where even though you don't actually know everybody there, you kind of know everybody there, and you can start to talk at a very deep level, almost immediately. It's a thoroughly unique experience to go to Sunstone, especially if you've been going for a while, because then you have all these friends and all these new friends. And like I said, when I went there for the first time, I was absolutely immersed just from the very beginning.
Awesome. Now, one thing I've noticed, Lindsay, so we will talk a little bit about this symposium and the specifics of it, but one of the things that I see as a shift from you guys, and I'm sure you guys must have it as some part of the vision, but you seem to be holding a lot more one-day, half-day kind of gatherings, usually in the Salt Lake area. Is that what's behind that, and is that something you guys plan to continue?
Well, we just noticed a need for it. I think that there's a huge need for people to get together and be in community together. One of the good things about Sunstone that I think people don't always feel in their home ward is the ability to be open and authentic amongst other like-minded people. And, of course, there are people that find that in their wards. But, you know, we have people that have been excommunicated that can come and still feel like they're Mormon. And we have people that are very, very active but want to be challenged and still come. And so I think the genesis of this was just need of people wanting to get together. And we thought, well, why don't we provide this platform for them? Sunstone has such a rich archive of amazing speakers and scholars who have interacted with us. And because of that, we're able to bring like really good, high quality conferences. We just did one on race, and this was in Salt Lake City in March. And the thinking behind this was that everyone, when we talk about racial issues in the church, we always think of what? The priesthood ban and the temple ban, right? And I had been talking to a lot of people of color who were saying, we are so tired of always having to talk about that issue. We are so much more than just that issue. And race in the church is such a larger issue than those two things. And so we said, you know what? Let's give you guys a platform. And we had a conference for only people of color were on the program. They were there to talk about what they wanted to talk about. And it was incredible. And so I think that that is really in Sunstone's mission to sort of provide this platform for what Mormons are thinking about, Mormons all across the spectrum. And so that's just what we've been doing, and we hope to do it. It's been really wildly successful so far, and so I'm excited about that.
Now, how have you been allowing that to extend beyond the basically Salt Lake County, or, you know, those within an hour and a half driving distance who might come to those? Have you been streaming them, or is it just making video available online, or what's been the model?
So Sunstone has this huge archive, right? And I think our audio archive goes all the way back to the early 80s, and we have that all online. And because Sunstone is this small nonprofit, and you know, we're always trying to beg for funds, our audio archive has sort of been lost to the internet for a while. So this year, we recently got it all back on. I think, Dan, this was a big initiative when you were there, right?
We digitized it all. We had a $10,000 grant, and that paid for the chance to take everything off of cassette tape and put it there. But I know that the website was down, and its infrastructure needed something new to kind of get it back. But it's all up, and is it all indexed again?
It's all up, and it is indexed, but the interface is still a little tricky. Like, we have some people say, session 312 from 1986 isn't up or something. So, I mean, it's impossible for me to go through like 6,000 hours of audio to make sure that it's all there, but we're figuring it out. So that's something that we plan to put a lot more investment in. We have some good volunteers, and if anyone out there wants to help with that, it's so important. I get so much good feedback about those episodes. I think episodes, I'm in a podcast mind. These sessions from all of these symposiums over the history of Sunstone are out there and available for people to listen to. So you can hear, you know, D. Michael Quinn's famous speech or Margaret Toscano talking about Heavenly Mother. It's all up there. And Dan, I have seen those cassette tapes. So what you did was huge.
We had like six machines going at once. It was awesome. With a great fellow named Matthew Wright was our person who we hired to help with that. And boy, he did a lot every day. It was neat. Hey, I'm excited about that. So, but is some of it live streamed? Or are you planning to do that with this symposium, or is there more plans for that kind of thing too? Because I always felt super conscious about, you know, being so local, Salt Lake, you know. We always talk about right here and the people out not in Utah going, man, that doesn't work for me.
There are Mormons outside of Utah?
Yeah, what?
No, we have regional symposiums that try to do this, and we're actually really broadening our reach this year. We actually are talking about Sunstone Europe in February. It's actually on the calendar. So we have a large group of folks out there that have been asking for this. So we're going to see if it can work out. But that is absolutely a concern. And, you know, if it were up to me, I would be like, everybody get your hand carts and come to Utah every summer for Sunstone. But obviously that's not possible. So there are a few sessions this year that are going to be live streamed. I believe the Mormons and ERA session, the Ordained Women session, and the Infants on Thrones. And then we are having several videoed, so they'll be up on YouTube after the fact. And then about 6 months after the symposium, all of the audio will be online. But it's always available for purchase right after the symposium.
Yeah, we have great volunteers, Wade and Andrew and a few others that come most years that, boy, they just go crazy and help with that recording and making it available. So we're so grateful for them. What else is happening at Sunstone before we talk a little bit about the symposium? Is there any more like either mission-driven type things or areas that you guys want to talk about and just kind of say, here's new with Sunstone?
Well, there's something that's happening in the community that I think has probably always been an issue, but that's maybe we can like step away from Sunstone for a minute and talk about it. But I think Sunstone comes into play, and it's the issue that I've seen of bridging the gaps between a generation of people that have been doing this work, this scholarship, this intellectual thought, this deep dive into gospel topics for decades and decades. And then some Yahoo like me that shows up on the internet and is like, hey, cool. Right. And this has been, you know, I'm involved in the Mormon feminist community, and this has been kind of an issue for us because, you know, someone like me will come in and say like, oh, have you guys ever talked about modesty in the church? Look how smart I am. I invented modesty in the church as an issue. Let me blog about it. And then you'll have someone like Lori Winder Strongberg, who's like, we've been talking about this for 40 years.
Right.
So I think that that's something that the internet is really starting to experiment with. And yet a lot of Sunstone's constituency is still not online. And so it's this weird sort of intermingling of the community. But I thought maybe you guys could weigh in on what you have seen too, because there are 40 years of intellectual thought that really shouldn't be lost to younger generations.
Yeah, one of my friends on Facebook, he said, I just finished reading some dialogue issues from 1970. And guess what? They were talking about exactly the same things we're talking about now. It's really interesting. It seems like this, we're actually having a session on it, how the same themes have been recycled again and again and again through Mormon discussions. And it's interesting to think about because Harold Bloom once posited that the way that literature keeps itself fresh and vigorous is that each generation of writers rejects the previous generation. They're like, oh, you're so old school, you're so dowdy, you're so lame, you know, everything you do is old and dusty. We, on the other hand, are doing something new and amazing and exciting. But the interesting thing is, first they had to read those older writers in order to understand sort of what the discourse was that they were rejecting, that they were building on, that they were making new. And I think that whatever movement it is we want to call in Mormonism, the progressive Mormon movement or the thoughtful Mormon movement or whatever, the internet Mormon movement would gain tremendous power by knowing who it is that they're going to be rejecting so that they can do something new and vigorous and powerful. Because in a lot of ways, I remember what it was like going through my stage four, where I was questioning everything and being, you know, just absolutely at sea, not knowing what anything of any value was and how exciting it was to explore that. But I never said anything new, I found out later. I had to find out what had already been said and what my sort of intellectual ancestors had already built so that I could use the technology that they had already built in order to make the next step. So maybe you're right, Lindsay, that Sunstone is kind of the place where that could happen, because we do still have this intensely important constituency that kind of isn't online, that grew up on paper, that put their thoughts on paper. And if we can bring those two crowd, that crowd together with the internet crowd, so that we could start to appreciate each other's both legacy and energy and forward thinking, I think that would be an amazing conglomerate right there.
Well, I think that's what is happening. I mean, one of the few places that I've seen that happen is at the Sunstone Symposium. Because especially this year, we have really, you know, focused a lot on the internet crowd as well, and hopefully not to the detriment of the, you know, the crowd that has been going for a long time. But I'm really wanting to try to bring these people together, and not just them. I'm really personally interested in getting more involvement from, of course, you know, I did a whole podcast on polygamy, so I have invited a lot of Mormon fundamentalists to come because I think that their takes on Mormonism are invaluable and super interesting and needed in our community. And then, you know, the Community of Christ is having more and more of a role. And so I love that all the different restorationist movements are coming together as well. And, you know, bridging these gaps, these different Sunstone generation gaps, while making new Sunstone generations.
Love it. Good stuff, you guys. And it seemed like you're doing a few things at this symposium that you haven't tried before. You've got the book room with more of a lounge feel to it, things like that. Tell us a little bit about some of the on-site changes that are trying to lead to more of this mingling.
Yeah, so I just want to give a heads up to people who have been going for years and years and years. And I, like I said, I really, like, it keeps me up at night. I do not want anyone to feel like they're being left behind or that their beloved things are changing. But like I said, when we're trying to meld, bridge this gap between the old and the new, there are going to be some growing pains, right? And so the great thing about our staff is we try new things and we're, you know, trying new experiments, and if they fail, they fail. But we want to try new things because, as Stephen was talking about, as like these old things are being recycled and kind of, you know, re-energized through in new ways, there are also new things happening in Mormonism, and we really want to keep up because there's some amazing things, and we can talk about that in a minute. But one of the things that we're doing that's different is Benchmark Books is coming, and they are an amazing bookstore. They are the go-to place for Mormon books. And I know this because I got a lot of my polygamy resources from them. And a lot of polygamists go in to get, you know, these old, hard-to-find copies of, like, Truth Magazine or something that you can go in there. So Benchmark Books is super great. And they're going to have a giant bookstore in the middle of the symposium. And around them is going to be an art show where what we did this year is we asked Mormons to tell us how they saw themselves. So we asked for all self-portraits. We want to see how Mormons see themselves. And so it's going to be an art show called Through the Mind's Eye. And it's going to be, you know, self-portraits of Mormons of all stripes, which I'm so excited for. And then we have quilts right by the art show that are going to go to benefit gay homeless youth who are kicked out usually in Utah or the Intermountain West by their parents for being gay. And so we are going to be tying knots in the quilt if people want to. It's just going to be available as a service project. And they can write a message of hope or love or inclusion on the quilts. And that's something we're really trying to incorporate, is this idea of service, because that's such a Mormon value, right? That's one of the things I value most about my Mormonism, is this focus on humanitarian service. So that will be there. And then Signature Books, who is an amazing publisher, who a lot of those books that Benchmark sells come from Signature Books. They have so generously decided to sponsor a free complimentary continental breakfast every morning at Sunstone. So every morning you can go grab a donut or a bagel and some juice or coffee. I know it's coffee. I'm like, are you guys sure you want to do that? But Sunstone Mormons drink coffee, turns out. And so that's going to be in what we call the Signature Lounge, which is going to have, you know, some love sacks and bean bags and chairs and games to play. We have Sunstone's Mormanity that Gerilyn Poole and I created together. And I think Gerilyn's going to be selling that game at Sunstone as well. So you can come and play, because Mormonism isn't just about, like, these hard issues, right? It's about a celebration of Mormonism. It's about community. It's about being together. And we really want Sunstone to be a place that celebrates all these different aspects of Mormonism.
Yeah, that'll be great. And then you have Mormon artists and crafters. Are you going to have that crafters row again?
Oh, I totally forgot. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, people are starting to call, after last year, Sunstone this sort of Comic-Con of Mormonism, which I love, because that is like the celebration that we're talking about. So we have this row of hand crafters where people sell Mormon memorabilia. I think Gerilyn Poole has, she has all these different kinds of mints that are really funny that have a pun on them. I wish I could think of them because they're so clever. So she's going to be selling a lot of Mormon magnets and things like that.
Well, I have some endowments.
Endowments is one of them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there are all these different funny things that she is selling, and then an artist, Matt Page, who is a phenomenal Mormon artist, is going to be selling some of his prints. Feminist Mormon Housewives is going to be there having a bake sale. Someone's there going to be there selling cheesecake. it's just fantastic. I think it's going to be wonderful. We have a live band this year. We have food trucks coming for Friday night dinner and Saturday lunch. And we have a live band of all Mormon band players. That's not the right word. Band members. And yeah, it's just, it's, we want it to be fun. We want it to be important and have value and meaning, and we want it to be fun.
Yes. Now, Lindsay, is some of your art going to be there again this year, please?
Yeah, actually.
Cool.
I might include some of my own art.
Lindsay does amazing stuff. I think my favorite piece of yours is the 4x6 print or something, and it's Chaco Okazaki as my spirit animal.
That actually, I think, is Geraldine that made that.
Oh, is that Geraldine? Oh, I thought
it
was you.
Geraldine is going to be there. And you guys, her stuff, here's the thing about her is she does this alter personality called Aunt Marvel. And Sunstone has done this before. There have been several people that have done this, but Geraldine dresses as Aunt Marvel, and she does a Mormon food presentation. And it was so wildly popular last year that we've actually scheduled it twice in the program. She's going to do Mormon food too, so it's like an update of that, and then an encore during one of the lunch sessions. And she is so funny. I mean, she is just so funny, and I'm excited for people to go to that.
Awesome. Well, let's just let's do this. People who are not in Utah aren't able to come. Here is what you can get through audio orders, perhaps a little bit of streaming, and what's not to miss? What are the big name speakers and the key events? And we'll just go 15 minutes, and then we'll end this thing. So where would you want to start, Lindsay or Stephen, with why don't we just quickly start on Wednesday, because there's two things happen Wednesday. There's a conference. I'll let you talk about that, Lindsay. And then, Stephen, will you talk about the Smith Pedal lecturer?
Yeah. Okay. So Wednesday, we are partnering with the Mormon Mental Health Association with Natasha Helfer Parker, and she is putting on this mini Mormon Mental Health Conference. And that's Wednesday, and it's separate from Sunstone. There's like a separate fee, and there's kind of a separate audience, but we really want this cross-pollination, so everyone's invited to both. And you have to check out their program. You can see it on our site. We have their program hosted. Their speakers and topics are really important and really amazing. They're talking about, addiction to prescription medications and Mormon scrupulosity and returning home from your mission early and the trauma that that might cause. I mean, they're just incredible stuff. And then Dr. Caitlin Ryan from the Family Acceptance Project is going to be their keynote.
And she's the one that did that booklet and that video, right, about how important it is for families to not reject their gay children.
She is incredible. So that is starting at, I believe it's 3 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday. And so Sunstone will be there like setting up, and they will be having their keynote. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Great. And then that night, somehow, miracle, I guess extra money was donated or something, Stephen, but you guys landed a heavy hitter for the Smith Pettit lecture.
Oh, yeah. Mike and his buddies were a huge part of that, along with Lindsay.
This is Michael Stevens on the board.
Oh, yeah. One of our board members. Thanks for clearing that up. Yeah, it's an incredible coup. Anybody who misses out on this is missing out on a huge thing. And it's especially interesting because he's going to be talking about something. Did I say his name? John Dominic Crossan. He's considered the foremost historical Jesus scholar of our time. He's written, 10 million books and counting. But he's going to be talking about what he calls the kingdom mind, which is this idea that cropped up with Christianity, that we're all supposed to come together into the kingdom of God in this either mystical or practical way, so that we can prepare for the coming of Jesus, so we can be Zion. And of course, Joseph Smith was huge into setting up Zion. We had the United Order, and then when everybody went to Utah, well, at least the Brighamites, when the Brighamites went to Utah, there were a lot of United Order experiments going on. And still today, we talk wistfully about, becoming a Zion people, but it's kind of receded a lot. It's sort of this vague idea. I think there's actually going to be another session on that later on.
Yeah, I organized it. Right? Yeah, I organized it.
Yeah. It's a fascinating concept because, of course, we do want to be together. We want to feel what it's like to be of one heart, but we're also gosh darn cantankerous, especially those Sunstone people. But we still want to be together. So he's going to be talking about that from a historical Christian perspective, and then we're going to have some awesome scholars like Julie Smith and David Bacavoy, who has been on this podcast probably more times than this podcast has actually been broadcast, and Gina Colton as well from Kiwi Mormon. So as you can tell, it's going to be like a heavy hitter from the Christian community that's going to come and talk with heavy hitters from the Mormon community.
And that's Wednesday night. And then he's around the next couple of days too, right?
He is.
He's doing more things.
Yeah, he's actually going to do a panel with Mike Quinn about the role of, what do you call it, dissent in the Christian community, which should be, you know, absolutely fascinating because, of course, Mike Quinn is one of our leading lights. So to have him with John Dominic Crossan to talk about this, it should be amazing.
Well, it is fantastic. And I know the Smith Pettit Foundation kicks in a certain amount of money, and we always open with a non-Mormon scholar. But that's great that in order to be able to bring Dr. Crossan, it did take some extra fundraising. So that's congratulations, you guys. That's amazing. What else would you like to highlight, Lindsay? What would you say are five you won't want to misses?
Oh my goodness, there are so many. So first of all, go to sunstone.org to look at our program because it's impossible to choose. I mean, we have a heavy focus on issues that are really pressing on the Mormon Church right now. We have a lot of people talking about trans issues, being transgendered, and what that means being Mormon. We are really excited because we recognize that the LDS Church is not just a Utah church, and this is a problem for a lot of people like me growing up. You know, it was really hard to realize that the church wasn't just like Pioneer Stock Church that grew up in Utah and stay in Utah, that it's global. So we have actually found funding to fly in a leader of the Mormon feminist movement in Mexico, and she's going to be here, Anya Tina Yarrow, and she's going to be talking about the Mormon feminist movement in Mexico, and I'm so excited for that. And I hope that this is just the beginning of bringing more Latin representation and more representation from the Global South, where Mormonism is really thriving. And I don't think that we, especially in America, think about these issues enough. So that's happening on Saturday. Dan, you're going to be talking about ritual, which I think is such an important aspect of Mormonism. And when you're doing it in Mormonism, it's not really conscious, I guess. You know, at least for me growing up, I did a lot of things and I didn't realize their importance. So I feel like you talking about ritual is going to be really important for a lot of people.
I'll let you know, just quickly, we probably should have said that the symposium theme, it certainly doesn't mean that everything on it is about the theme, but when we organize symposiums, we usually put something out and say, we'd like to do a bunch of, you know, thinking on this, so if this stimulates any thought in your brain, go for it. And so this year, it's called The Mormon Mind, and so I don't know, what would you say, percentage-wise, how many of them are on that topic?
Well, another thing that we did this year that we haven't done in years past is we organized the sessions into tracks and conference tracks. And the reason why we did this was we wanted to make sure that we had enough diversity in our program, that we were covering a lot of issues. And so we're not like formally organizing it in the program as tracks, but when we organized it, we wanted to make sure that during every single time session there was something that had, you know, maybe Mormon history, that was a huge thing we wanted to focus on. We wanted to have a theme-related session. We wanted to incorporate and include people of color and issues that affected LGBT Mormons and Mormon feminism and humor and all of those things. So we tried to make sure that we have as much equal representation of all those topics on the program as possible. And so in almost every single time slot, there is something that is theme related. There's one on Mormons and marijuana that have to do with the Mormon mind and how it's affected by this issue and how polygamy affects your brain. And, you know, one of our plenaries with Dr. Michael Adam Ferguson, he is going to present his findings on the Religious Brain Project and what happens to your brain, what synapses fire off and what parts of your brain light up when you have a spiritual experience. And so we really wanted that to be a huge part of the program as well, because it's such a great theme.
Yeah, and that's why I chose to talk about ritual, because it seems so non-rational, and it seems strange, and if you try to approach it through your linear brain, your conscious kind of thing, it makes no sense. And yet my point will be to try to show how it makes sense in driving us out of our minds and opening us up to other types of things that just usually don't get through because of those filters that are constantly, it's constantly there. So anyway, it's stuff that a lot of people have listened to the show have caught on, but I am speaking on that. And that did remind me that this is the great theme for it. I'm really excited about it and for Michael's presentation.
Well, and that's why I wanted to talk about you, Dan, because this is another thing that we did this year. A lot of people are like, oh, the program is so great. And here's why, because Dan reached out to me at the beginning and he said, hey, can Mormon Matters have some representation on the program? And we're like, of course. And so what we did is we started reaching out to all these different Mormon organizations and groups. And, we have the Mama Dragons and Mormons in ERA and Mormon Matters and Mormon Stories and Feminist Mormon Housewives and Ordained Women and all these groups. And we said, okay, we want you guys to show up and talk about what you want to talk about. And Dan just showed up and like delivered. He has the panels you've organized are fantastic. So you really get a lot of credit for helping make this program possible, Dan.
Well, thank you. It's exciting to get a whole bunch of people together. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't me going, hey, how can I help? It was like, here, Dan, I have this idea. Okay, yes, I will do it. So
Don't let him be modest.
Anyway, a couple more from you. Stephen, I want you to hit a couple more highlights for you. And then we'll give all the fun information and let people go within an hour here. So just a couple more like, wow, this is a big get, or this one is, could change a discussion or something like that.
Okay, well, we have, all the Mormons that have been excommunicated in the last year, John DeLynn, Kate Kelly, the Calderwoods, Rock Waterman, they're all going to be on a panel, which I think a lot of people are excited about. That's going to be on Saturday evening, and that was such a hard one to fill because there are so many amazing things happening during that same time slot. There's, Levina Fielding Anderson is going to be talking about resurgent Mormon feminism and sort of this issue we talked about earlier, bridging the gap. And Denver Snuffer is going to return, and he's on a panel called The Mormon Legal Mind with Damon Smith and Brad Kramer and David Reed and Brindis Roberts, who are all Mormon lawyers. And they're, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are. And they're going to be talking about the Mormon legal mind, which is such a huge issue in contemporary Mormonism. And there's a panel that's going to be talking about non-monogamy, because I'm sure, I don't know if you talked about this on your podcast, but there's a huge polyamorous community within faithful Mormonism and within, post-Mormonism. And so they're going to be talking about that. And like I said, this is just like a handful, just a tiny, tiny sampling of amazing things that are going to be happening.
Great. Stephen, what's a couple of faves?
Well, I think one of the things that could draw a lot of people to this particular one is at any time, there are always people who are becoming destabilized in their faith and in the church. They kind of feel like they're getting pushed out. And especially if you like are older and you raised a family in the church and you did a good job and all of your kids are faithful, and suddenly you go into a faith crisis and your children are like, what is the matter with you? And you feel alienated not just by the church, but by your family. And you feel like you don't have anywhere to go and you don't have any resources to deal with it. I think this is actually going to be a really excellent symposium because we have a lot of sessions to talk about what it's like to be in the borderlands. In fact, Dan, you're in one of them. Dan's in all the good ones. we're going to talk about different ways of approaching the idea of a faith crisis. Because it could be that a faith crisis is actually a step to becoming an even more spiritual person than you are now. It could be that you will become uniquely important in your family and in your ward because you have gone through this deep questioning. I mean, if we look back through a lot of psychological theories and through a lot of the biographies of great spiritual people, they have gone through this dark night of the soul. And it could be that the church, far from being like in a state of great apostasy, is actually on the cusp of a great spiritual revolution. All we have to do is recognize it as such. All of these people are getting ready for the next level of spirituality, but it's so painful. I remember what it was like, how painful it was to feel my entire, basis of knowledge and behavior just dropping out from under me. And if you feel that way, this is going to be a really good symposium to come to. Not only because you're going to be with other people who are either there or have been through it and can talk to you about it, but you can also listen to people who have scholarly work on it. And so that you can have time to process it, have different viewpoints on it, so that you can do a better job being, I guess, a borderlander. The other one, and going along with Dan's idea about ritual, there's actually going to be a poet who calls himself a sonosopher named Alex Caldiero. And even if you're not into poetry, and even if you're not into sonosophy, go to his session.
Yeah, Alex is
because Alex, you're right. It's the closest thing you can get to LSD when you're LDS. it's just amazing. You will be transported. It is indescribable what happens when you go and you listen to Alex Caldiero. I went to one of his readings the other day, and it was amazing. Come if you're a poetry lover or not. But those are the things that I think are the most important. Getting an idea of what it is that you're inside when you're in a transition zone like that and experiencing a kind of a religious experience, like a spiritual experience with Alex Caldiero.
Neat. Folks, Sunstone's awesome. I know you're hearing about this probably too late for a lot of you to change plans, but if some of you are on the fence, definitely come, even experience it for one day, and then next year you'll be like Stephen with his wife, honey, I've got to go to all the days. You got to come too. Lindsay, do a couple of the little things. If you do have children, tell us about child care, and then just give us a little bit more about how to register, how to find the program online and things.
Yeah, I've been really lucky, or maybe unlucky, depending on how you look at it, to be a mother of young kids and try to attend a symposium and realize sort of the challenges with that. And so we're providing children's workshops this year. It's actually Feminist Mormon Housewives who organized this and sponsored this and fundraised to pay for this. And they have a licensed, very organized professional child care provider who is going to be doing children's workshops and crafts with the kids. I believe it's ages 3 to 10, and they can come. It's $1 an hour per child in the den, so that's on the first floor. So please utilize that, because if people use that, then that is something that we can use every year. And we actually are always looking for people to sponsor that. That's actually been one of the most challenging things to bring to Sunstone. And childcare should not be that difficult, but turns out that is a challenge. We are having food trucks. That's another thing we're doing before the union, where we're having this at the University of Utah, has this great food court, but it closes on Saturday. So we're always left with this challenge. So we are bringing delicious food trucks. One is called Saturday's Waffle.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
So he's going to be there, and he's great. Turns out he's a Sunstone Mormon. And so it's just this like big, great family reunion of people that aren't even your family. And we're giving out swag this year. Every single person that comes gets a nice swag bag. If you buy the whole 3-day attendance, Signature Books has a nice, like, and I'm talking nice computer bag for you that you get. And And we're doing doorbusters. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning, the first 50 people that come. On Friday, you're getting a book, the Cowboy Jesus book. Why can I think
the
of it?
The Backslider, man.
The Backslider. Thank you, the Backslider.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's even the version that has my blurb on the back, which makes it even awesomer.
See? Yeah, so the first 50 people on Thursday that show up get the Backslider. The second on Friday, the first 50 people that show up get a mug, a nice Sunstone mug. And then we have books on Saturday as well. And so we're really trying to, you know, give you an incentive to get there early and support the great sessions that are starting at 9 o'clock.
Fantastic. So... sunstonemagazine.org, and then just click through the symposium things to look at everything, or
just go to sunstone.org.
Oh, sunstone.org? It's not sunstonemagazine.org anymore?
It's sunstonemagazine.com or sunstone.org. Yeah.
I didn't know you guys got that domain name. Congrats.
We use the Danites. It
works. Wow. That's cool. I didn't know that. So hopefully that'll be a switch over to that, because, yeah, that was no fun when we didn't have that one. Go there. You can get your registration. It's cheaper to register ahead of time. So up through Monday night, the 27th. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, you can always register at the door, but it's going to be $5 more. So okay. Register online now. And if anyone is worried about the ticket price, we've raised the prices a little bit this year in order to make it affordable for our presenters. So if you're having trouble paying with that, contact me. Contact me at lindsay@sunstone.org, and we can talk about volunteer options that will reduce your rate.
Great. And pre-registering is also neat because you have a pre-printed badge and all that kind of stuff that makes you feel all proud when you're walking around.
Exactly.
So neat stuff. You'll meet so many cool people. A plug here for Mormon Matters listeners. Father Tom will be there. So he's been on seven or eight Mormon Matters things. He's going to do his own session, and he's just a great personality for you to get to know, and he'll just love meeting you. I'm also in charge of the one session that kind of eclipsed all others in popularity through the years. About 10 or 12 years ago, Toby Pingree, who was the great Sunstone executive director or chair of the board, came up with this concept to do a session called Why We Stay, or Why I Stay. And as he started this, just was for this idea of Mormons who sort of made it through the wars, who have all the questions, and yet through some internal calculus, this weighing of things, found peace again within Mormonism and things like this. And they get together and they talk for 15 minutes or so each time. And last year he asked me to take over the legacy of that. And so Friday afternoon, it's what they call a daytime plenary session. We just had so much trouble. Nobody attended any session that was put up against it before that we just officially started it as its own plenary.
I learned that from experience.
Oh yeah, were you on panels?
Yes.
Drew nobody? Yeah, so... Anyway, this year, Gina Colvin, who everyone knows from my podcast as well as the Thoughtful Faith podcast, she's speaking. Ken Driggs, who's this amazing lawyer who lives in the Atlanta ward and's got lots of wonderful experiences about being an urban Mormon, but he's a historian who's written wonderful books, and he's a death penalty lawyer who just brings so much compassion and interesting things to that. Fatima Sela, how do you say it? Sela or Sela? I better
Soleil.
Learn.
Soleil. I got it wrong too at first.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll learn it before I introduce her on that session. She was a keynote speaker at Lindsay's conference on race recently, and she's got a PhD. Communication. She's working on the MDiv. She's terrific. Kalani Tonga, lifelong member of the church, and she's helped found FemWOC, a blog for women of color. She's fantastic. And then Mitch Main, who many of you will know is a gay Mormon in San Francisco or the Bay Area, who is active in his ward, who was even an executive secretary, and he's kind of a national voice on stuff. So just the five of them will share 15 minutes of, how they put it all together and still find hope and reasons to remain engaged. So that's a great session, always. Anything else, you guys?
No, I just really appreciate you, Dan, and everyone. Dan is so wonderful, and we're lucky to have him.
Oh, brother. Thank you.
True.
And, Stephen, any other thoughts for that?
Actually, if I were you, I would beware of the Handcrafter's Row, because I actually didn't get out of there without spending $300 last time.
Serious? Wow. Yes,
there was
Stephen's a sucker.
No, there was cool stuff. That's what happened.
Well, neat. Oh, you guys, it's going to be so fun to see you in about 10 days from now. So, listeners, thanks for tuning in. Sunstone's a fantastic organization. It's thriving. Like we say, it is something unique. It is something interesting within Mormonism, and it's in great hands with these two, along with Jim Murphy's guidance, along with other board members. I'm just thrilled to be an editor emeritus, an executive director emeritus, and just to see these guys with their energy go does my heart proud, and it's great to still be involved in some way. Thanks, everyone, for supporting Mormon Matters with your donations and subscriptions. And, oh, man, just you guys are really what makes this, makes me able to keep doing this. So I'm just so grateful for that. Thank you so much to Lindsay and Stephen. Cue the music.
Thank you for joining us today on Mormon Matters Podcast. To discuss this podcast with others, please check us out at mormonmatters.org. To keep this podcast alive or to join our support community, please consider a tax-deductible donation today at mormonmatters.org. Music for this podcast was brought to you by Brittany and Clayton Pixton. The Mormon Matters logo was generously provided by StudioCase.com. Thank you for listening.